I love it when I'm at a wedding and the groom and the best man wear the Rangers tartan. People from Scotland don't know what I mean. It gives me the chance to tell the story of the Swedish professor of intelligence who has a machine and he straps someone onto it and says, I'm going to adjust your intelligence up or down, and I'm just going to set it just now at 150. It's very high intelligence, and gradually it's going to work its way down. I'll adjust it, and we'll just see how it all goes. Anyway, it starts off, and everything's fine. Phil answers all the questions very well, and then the phone rings, and the professor goes away and doesn't realize he's left the machine on, and the IQ rating goes down to 120, 110, 100, 90, 70, 40, 30. And the professor just realizes what's happened. He rushes back, switches off the machine just when it gets to 25, and says, "Are you all right? Are you all right? Speak to me, speak to me." And the fellow looks him blankly in the eye and goes, "Follow, follow, we will follow Rangers." Anyway. We all follow something, chase after something. It's our goal, our focus, the priority of our life, our God. It might be security or family or ambition. It might be pleasure or possessions or status. It might be a quiet life. It can be something good or something dubious, but we all follow some star, something that our life is all about, our ultimate concern. Levi the taxman had made his choice, and it was for realism and accommodation, dealing with life as he found it in a very pragmatic and unsentimental way. Rabid nationalism and rebellion against the Roman occupying forces made no sense to him, paid no bills. He had learned to fit in, to bend with the wind, and had prospered. Some might have thought him a quisling, a collaborator, and other such emotive words. His own people might have viewed him with suspicion and even hatred, but his purpose was clear and his goals defined. Go with the flow. Go with the flow. It might not be perfect, but it was a living, a good living, and he could cope with the loneliness, club together with others of his kind, and cream his percentage off the top, and where corners had to be cut and a ruthless edge demonstrated, well, tax collecting, let's face it, was never going to win many civic awards. It was how it was. He was okay. He had made his choice. He slept okay. All the more shocking, then, that he should be singled out by Jesus, the teacher, the healer, the potential Messiah, and invited to be a follower of the way. There was a particular surprise and a more wide-ranging statement in the call of Levi that this weasel should be called into fellowship of the way was a strange and unsettling demonstration of the personal nature of the call of Christ, targeted, singular, inescapably directly to him, this person, to you, to me. It was also a statement by Christ of the nature of his call. He sets out his stall in unmistakable clarity. He has come to the outcast, the sinner, the loser, and the lost. His religion is not to be lace-curtain niceness, but challenge, risk, transformation, and hope. He is all about unconditional love, working in the realm of the dangerous, the radical, and the subversive. Whatever he offers is dynamite, not feather duster. And he's prepared to start where people are, in all their weakness, shoddy thinking and failure, not insisting that they reach some agreed level of sophisticated understanding and theological insight before he can be interested in them, but be they leper, taxman, adulteress, he will reach towards them with a gracious welcome. And the only ones who will miss out on his grace are those so hardened and self-righteous and unbending that they deflect his love with their resistance to its generosity. Mind you, equally surprising is that Levi should want to invite Jesus to his home, to be among his friends and fellow outcasts, and that Jesus would so readily agree to identify himself in some kind of solidarity with those who feel the whiplash of society's disapproval. There is the clear beginning of opposition beginning to emerge through this story, the forces of the righteous religious establishment questioning and in the end disapproving of his actions and his involvement. There's no preparedness on the part of Jesus to watch his P's and Q's, to hug the safe boundaries of respectability or to embrace religious correctness. Right into the furnace of reality he steps with his truth and his welcome. If Levi had stayed put, the issues exposed by his call to faith would not have arisen. He could have listed an impressive catalogue of sound reasons to avoid the summons of Christ. The road of faith in Jesus would take him who knew where. Security was a fine thing to enjoy. The adventure of discipleship was nothing but loose ends. Who could tell where it would end? If it would end in tears? The internal dynamics of faith, decision, would be well at work, pride struggling within to hold on to him, inertia dragging him back to choosing the way that he was used to, the love of the lifestyle that he had, that tugged at his shoulder as fear of losing what he had gnawed at his resolve. Just like now, when people, for reasons of intellectual pride, a vaunted sense of personal dignity, reject the call, or folk busy with a lifestyle they suspect is full of wrong things, relationships that are exploitative, ambitions that are shallow, pleasure-seeking that is trivial, they hesitate to respond to the call of Christ because they're afraid it will have huge consequences for their lives, make all the difference in the world to their sense of priorities. Because they know that faith is like the hokey-cokey you put your whole self in, they shrink from that degree of upheaval and turn and walk away. Levi was not destined to become one of the big names of the early church. He disappears out of the biblical account after this incident. Yet the call to the life of faith, service and sacrifice came to him with a directness that was unavoidable and hugely significant. There was nothing in it for him except following Jesus. When men and women are called by Christ in our time with that same heart-stopping directness, it is to the life of faith, of service and sacrifice. It is the call to a different life altogether, where the direction of our ambition and energies and talents shifts towards his will and purpose for our life and for his world. And he dares us to join him in building the kingdom of God. Why did Levi go with him? Why do people in our day still dedicate their lives to Christ and choose to follow him with their whole heart? Why do we elect for the life of the Christian? Because of who Christ is and all his beauty, welcome and truth, certainly. Because of the life he offers and the description he gives of where true character and happiness are found, these fit reality as we encounter it. We see how shallow and empty lives are without spiritual direction. We know the richness that comes when the Spirit of Christ is in our life. All true. People go with him because it works. Faith does enrich and bless our experience in a way that is undeniable. Where sharing in the family life of the people of God brings to us a warmth and a support that is precious. We follow because worshipping God, praising him, counting our blessings gives us a perspective and a richness in our life that we know, having come in from the shadows, is something true and glorious. We find healing and shape in our lives. Strangely, when we do follow, when we make the choice that in some jaundiced views is a crazy choice to say yes to Christ, to choose to be his disciples, it soon becomes clear to us that this is not naive or crazy, but the wisest choice in the world, the smartest move we ever made. It gives our life a new focus. It draws out the best in us. It touches base with our spirituality. And as with Levi, it all starts with saying yes. Let's read a little section from Linkword about someone called David Curry. This is what he says in his Linkword description. After some years in engineering work for Rolls-Royce, I changed tack and entered church work, leading an East Kilbride church into experiencing significant growth over a 17-year period. Became senior advisor in mission for the Church of Scotland, and ended that period as the Church of Scotland's first emerging church development officer. Worked in Australia for almost 5 years as Minister for New Initiatives in the Scots Church Melbourne, and now delighted to be Minister of Highgate United Reformed Church as we face days of challenge and change together. About 30 years ago, I was walking down, I was at the General Assembly this time of year, walking down Johnson Terrace in Edinburgh on my way to get the bus. And this bloke came up to me and he said, "You're Lawrence Twaddle, aren't you?" To which I could only reply, "Well, I could be." He said, "I'm David Curry." I said, "Nice to meet you." He said, "I was at school with you." "Oh, that's nice." He said, "Yeah, and you once invited me to go to a gospel concert in Glasgow by a group called The Heralds." "Oh, really?" says I, remembering none of it. "Yeah," he said, and I became a Christian. And then I went to work at Rolls-Royce, and now I'm here at the General Assembly as a minister. Now, the thing about this is, I have no recollection of ever inviting him to go to that concert at the Heralds. But clearly I did, and he went, and things changed. And several years later, I was on holiday in Crieff, as ministers often are at the Crieff Hydro, and he and his wife were in the next door chalet, and we went in for supper, and she said, "Ah, it's you. It was you. He was going to be an engineer at Rolls-Royce, and you blinking well invited him to the Heralds, and here he is now a minister in the Church of Scotland." And my point is not, oh, what a good evangelist I am. My point is, I have no memory of it. I did it. And if I hadn't done it, you know, who knows how it would have turned out. Anyway, it was a big change for David Curry. Because when you say yes to Christ, who knows where it will take you. When you invite someone to begin that journey, who knows where you'll take them?